verse 1, and it's on page 1184 of the Church Bibles. And if you're using the Accessible Bible, it's on page 769. That's Colossians 3, starting at verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Do keep that passage open and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is living and active. We dearly want to hear from you tonight. We want you to challenge us and to change us. By your Spirit, be at work, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I didn't have the heart to talk about rugby, to be honest with you. So what I thought I'd do is talk about golf, which is very exciting. Men's ministry, if you've not come and joined us to play golf twice a year, it's a great game. It's a great game and a fantastic opportunity to talk and walk at the same time. But there's a few things you've got to learn when you play golf, don't you? You see, what normally happens is this, is that the problem is that when you play golf... Oh, no, it's the wrong ball, sorry. No, let's use that one. Is the problem when you practice golf, what often happens... Oh, hi, Nate. Nice to see you. Just be wary of this. That's all right. But when you play, there's two problems when I hit the ball. What are they? But the problem is, generally I hit the ball. That's a general... But that's often, but not always. But the problem is this, is when you play golf, it often swings to the left... over here, or it swings to... Have you played... Who's played golf here? You're all looking at me as if I'm mad. I am mad. But yeah, so you play... Does that happen to you as well? Especially when you're trying really... especially when you're trying really hard, when you're trying to hit it as far as you want, you want to beat Greg's kind of longest putt. You want to basically give it a good old swing, and then you want to kind of get it in the right direction, but you find that it goes either in one direction... or the other, and not where you want it to go, straight. Now, I want to suggest that that's Colossians. That's what they've found out in Colossians. Look with me again. This is my summary of the week's past. But basically, the problem was this, is that they were either swinging off to super spiritual philosophy, going in that direction, and we see that kind of summarized in chapter 2, 6 to 15, if you looked a little bit back, okay, looking for their spiritual fullness elsewhere, you know, starting with Jesus and going whoosh, you know, that's what they're finding, their super spirituality, their fullness in Christ wasn't enough, that's what they were looking for, it was Jesus and the maths that doesn't make sense. Or they were not going swinging off in that direction. They were swinging off in this direction. It was kind of just legalism. It was legalistic obedience to humanistic kind of rules and regulations. Look at chapter 2, verses 16 to 23. They were judging each other by what they ate and what they drank. It was a kind of, legalistic rules. Do this, do this, do this. Or they were winging in this direction, kind of off with the fairies to some extent, kind of going, well, we left Jesus back there, and we're now being super spiritual. Do you see what I mean? It's like playing golf. Well, okay. But that I think that was helpful for me as I kind of thought about it. That's the problem. So what is the answer? If I don't want to swing off in this direction, I don't want to swing off in this direction. I want to keep it, the central path, and going in the right direction, don't I? Well, it was interesting that I came across this guy called Tim Keller's written a book called Centre Church. It's one of those kind of tomes that you read when you're at Bible college. But actually, this does the same in helping us to see, as a church, we need to guard ourselves from swinging off in one direction and swinging off in another direction. He looks at three things. He looks at the gospel. We can swing off and become liberal, or we could become legalistic. They're the two kind of extremes. We've got to hold firm and be central, guarding ourselves from the natural inclinations that will take us one direction or the other. He then looked at city and culture. We sometimes kind of respond to culture either by going, I'm in it, I'm going to be swallowed up in the culture, and you wouldn't spot me, you wouldn't see any distinction or difference with me than anybody else who lived their life. So you're at college or you're at school or you're at work, and actually you are not any different from anybody else. And then the other one, which is basically a total, just a denial of the culture that we're in. And he talks about kind of going, look, we need to redeem the culture and ultimately bring a Christ culture to the situation. The last one he looked about was actually the church. Is it an organism or is it an organization? But so this idea of staying central, okay, not swinging off in one direction or swinging off in another direction. So Colossians helps us to see how we're going to keep straight. And the way we're going to do that has already been mentioned in Colossians. Look at chapter 1, verses 27, just to highlight. One twenty-seven says this: to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this majesty, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's part of the great news of Colossians. Jesus Christ is in you. He is in you at work, in you, transforming you. So that actually, it's not about you trying harder, swinging a bit more, and making sure it goes in the right direction. Actually, it's God at work in you. Do you spot the difference? It's Christ in you. But it's also you in Christ. Look at verse 29. It will tell us again in chapter 1. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Why? The previous verse says, present everyone fully mature in Christ. Christ is in you at work, and you are in Christ. It's like having a Tupperware box. And you are, Christ is in you, inside your Tupperware box, and then actually you are placed inside of Christ. There is no way in which Christ is anything other than in you, and you are in Christ. You want a better picture of being united with Christ? That's amazing. It's mind-blowing. So actually, if you have fullness in Christ, there is nothing more that you could ever need or want or dream of, because everything is found in him. So the question is this, is how do we direct our lives? So back to my golfing illustration. As I basically play, what my dad said was this, is that when you strike the ball, you've got to bend the knees and you've got to look, okay, the key thing is this, it's where you put your feet. Did you know this? I was told by my dad, it's where you put your feet. So when you put your feet down like this, he says, Mark, you hit it all the way over there. Do you know why? He says, and he took my club, and he put it on the floor, and he said, look, your feet are pointing. At the moment, they're pointing in that direction. But imagine I have my feet like that. Okay, what direction will the ball go in? When I hit the ball, okay, what will happen? When I hit the ball, it will swing around that way because that's where my feet are aligned. That's where I'm positioned to go. And similarly, if I have one foot in front of the other and I play the ball like this, it's likely to swing off in that direction. That it's about where you set your life. It's the direction that you set yourself in. And so you'll see in this passage, as we get here, that's what we're going to see we need to do. Chapter 3, we've got there. Since then you have been raised with Christ. And that's the amazing picture. You've been raised with Christ. Christ is in you. You are in Christ. His death is your death. His life is your life. He has won it all for you. So since he's done it all for you, since then you've died with him and you've been raised with Christ, what should you do? Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Basically, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Set your life in such a way that it will go in that direction and not swear off in one or the other way. That's what we see here. So, where do you direct your heart and your mind? What direction are you planning to go in? It's a good question. If I take you and where you stand, I don't know, a kind of where, this is all metaphorical, but take where you stand at the moment, what is your trajectory? Where are you going? And I'm not talking university, and I'm not talking about kind of retirement and what countries you want to go to, but I want to know, where are you going? What direction is your heart? What direction is your mind? For you will follow the direction that you've set your eyes and fixed your gaze upon. That's what we're going to see here. What directs you? I had the privilege of going into Highhurst for school. Amazing school. Great. But there's one thing that every time I go in at the moment really annoys me. As you go in, you know, there's often inspirational posters, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. At the moment, they've got inspirational posters. And there's one that has pictures of Richard Branson. And it'll say, you know, he struggles with, I think it's dyslexia he struggles with. Do you know what I mean? And basically, it just sets him up as someone that you should aspire to be like. But what really annoys me about that poster is it then has net worth. And a figure. And they're kind of going, what, he's worth just that much money. That's basically what, and so there's another picture of loads of different people, all with particularly struggles that they have and how they've overcome them and become kind of millionaires. That's basically what the posters tell you. But the problem is that poster sets our eyes and our gaze on money, ultimately saying that actually, you want to get the biggest net worth. You know, how much money are you going to be worth? Because that's your value. I feel like going around the corner and seeing Steve Reese. Net worth, tuppence. But God says he's been invaluable. Do you want to meet? You pay me later, Steve. But you know what I mean, though, don't you? That's the challenge. The challenge is this. So what? What do we set our mind on? What do we set our eyes on? What is our worth? What is the greatest thing we could be seeking? Well, here we go. Set your hearts on things above, Jesus, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Where? Heaven. Set your eyes and minds on that place, that new heaven and new earth that God is going to set up, and Jesus rules and reigns there, that place where he will be praised forevermore. And this is not about being so heavenly minded that you're no earthly use. It's not kind of going, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter what I do now. I just know that I've got my ticket. And no, it's not about that. It's setting your mind on things above, not on earthly things, because it's going to impact now. It will work out of where you are directed now. He says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. There it is again, hidden in Christ with God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him. It's about being Christ-like. I wish I could go over those posters and just kind of go, Christ-like? Yes, no. You know, do they know Jesus? That's your goal. That should be your kind of target. As Christ appears, will you appear with him in glory? And have you set your mind on earthly things or on heavenly things? Health, wealth, and happiness. That's what I think a lot of people have set their hearts and minds on. But our faith should challenge our earthly passions and desires. It should do, does it? Does it? Are your earthly desires and patterns, is the direction that you're going in, is it different and distinct? Because you're going to be there seated with Christ in glory. He is at the right hand of God and you will be praising him because you will be Christ. Can you see that in how you live your life? Well, Colossians is basically saying to the church in Colossae and the church today, us. It should do. And this is how it should be different. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, verse 5, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Put to death. That's a bit stark, isn't it? Ignore them instead. That's good enough. Well, just don't spend a lot of time with them. That's fine. No, put to death is pretty stark. God says that is what you need to do. It's like an amputation, and you've got gangrene, and the gangrene is going to grow. You've got to cut it off. You've got to get rid of it. Put it to death. Put it to death. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Verse 6. Romans 6:23 is, for the wages of sin is, that's what you earn, sin. And we know from Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That was last month's memory verse. This month's Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God in Jesus Christ is what we've been promised. It's the gift of Jesus. So because of these, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry, death is coming. The wrath of God is coming. Now let me ask you the question. Have you put to death the sexual immorality in your life? I think we all have a bent. It's like playing golf and just we all go off in one direction. Now, maybe that's not your issue. Maybe it's just impurity or lust or evil desires and greed. But they're all idolatry. Basically, they're putting something at God's creation in place of God the Creator. It's loving things rather than loving the one who we should love. So are you cutting off, having nothing to do with, putting to death, amputating the sexual immorality that is in your life? Impurity. In what ways is our culture impure? What we see, what we say. Are we lusting? Lusting after sex or money or just longing and lusting after things of this earth that are not setting our hearts on Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God. Paul says, live the new Christian life. It's a new humanity with different targets and goals. Basically, put to death sin and the evil. But this is not a DIY self-help book. It's not about try harder, work more. That's not what it is. It just is set your gaze on Jesus Christ and on him glorified, and actually you will reduce veering off in this direction and in this direction. In Colossians, Paul says that you used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived. He's acknowledging that they used to veer off here in this direction. But he's saying, look, stop it, repent. I love just, we don't use the word repent anymore. We don't like the word repent because it suggests that we're going in the wrong direction, and that's exactly what we need to acknowledge. Stop it, turn, and go back in the direction that God's called us to do. You used to walk in those ways in the life that you once lived, but now walk in the opposite direction. Now you must rid yourselves, get rid of all such things. Anger. Do you struggle with anger? Have you ever prayed to God to help you with your anger? Have you ever noticed that you get in more traffic jams as a result? That's often what I find. Lord, I need patience. Why have I got another set of traffic lights and they're doing work here? And God's kind of going, well, you asked me. You want to be more Christ-like? Well, here's an opportunity to exercise your patience. Loving. Lord, let me be more loving. But he really winds me up. I struggle with him. God says, good. It's a great opportunity for you to love the unlovely, or at least who you think's unlovely, but I love them. That's what we get here. Rid yourselves of anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Get rid of them. And don't lie to each other. And the picture is this. Look, you've taken off your old self. It's as though you've got a coat and your old self has changed, okay? You've taken it off. And you've put on the new. I wanted a big spangly jacket or something like that. But I've got this instead, which is another very... But this is my dad's jacket. It's my dad's jacket. It just reminds me of... I'm a little bit like my dad. But, you know, I want to be more like my heavenly father. I want to put on the clothes that are Christ-like so that I look more like him. That's what it is. It's put on that which we see reflects who Christ is. Verse 10, you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You know that Jesus, all things were created by him and for him. You know that already, don't you? But so basically, it's Jesus. You should be more Jesus-like today than you were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 months ago. That's what putting on the new self looks like. And it's not because you do things, you wear sandals or something like that. No, it's because of the Christ-like character that we'll see in you. And it's at that point that I have to stop, because next week we'll see what that looks like in Colossians. But it's here that there is no Gentile, no Jew, no circumcised, no uncircumcised, no barbarian, no Scythian, no slave or no free. Christ is all and is in all. At the end of the day, whatever label you seem to have, it doesn't really matter. It is Christ. He is the label. That's the label that matters. That is the goal that you should be seeking. And that's not to say that being a slave or you should just run away, or being Jews, you need to forget the Old Testament and reject your Jewishness. It's not that at all. It's just that God doesn't see your color, your clothing, but he sees Christ in you. That is what he desires to see. And so irrespective of your culture and heritage, whether you're rich or poor or educated or uneducated, Jewish or not, you can still glorify God as you fix your gaze on Jesus Christ. Christ in you, that is the hope of glory. And so I want to encourage you to be like your dad. And not me, but as in be like your Father in heaven. That'd be Christ-like. Put on and clothe yourself with Christ-likeness. Therefore, as God's chosen people, clothe yourself. And we'll see that in the next little bit. I guess I've got my dad's mannerisms and his characteristics. I've certainly got some of his clothing. But are we seeking to be more like Jesus? It requires us to set our hearts on things above. How do you tame your heart? What do you love? You really love? You know, if you've got time off, what do you really spend your time doing? If you had an afternoon free, is it Jesus? And what would it look like if Jesus truly was your heart's desire? Well, I want to challenge you to read the next bit of Colossians, because I think it's torture not to read the next bit with just seeing the bit. But it's that challenge. Put to death, get rid of that which is of the world, and fix your eyes on Jesus, the author of it all, as he sits in glory. So will you this week, will you be harsh and put to death that which will come your way? Trust me, it will come your way on the telly. It will come your way via emails. It will come your way just with interactions with your neighbors and your friends and people that you meet, dog walking, whatever you do. But actually, will you clothe yourself with Christ-likeness as he is at work in you, because you are in him? Set your feet, as it were, in a way that looks to Christ, thereby renewing your heart and your mind and setting them on things of God. Taking off the sinful nature, putting on Christ-likeness, all for his glory and not your own. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are a diverse group tonight, and there will be many things in that list that will not particularly apply to us at this time, and yet there will be many that have just cut to the heart, for we are playing with them. We're not putting them to death. We're not ridding ourselves of them. Instead, we are entertaining them. Help us to take off that which is the old and put on the new. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus. We need your help. Amen.